Welcome to the Tiger Performance Podcast, where we feature high-achieving entrepreneurs and coaches and share their performance journeys. Now, let's get started with the show.
Steve Adams here, founder and CEO of Tiger Medical Institute. I'm the host of the Tiger Performance Podcast, where I interview entrepreneurs, executives, professionals, and thought leaders about their unique stories and performance journeys. We've had genetics experts, Super Bowl athletes, game-changing health professionals, and amazing entrepreneurs with stories that will inspire you. Okay, it's time to acknowledge our sponsor for today's episode, which is the Tiger Medical Institute. Our focus is on the mid-career dental professional, C-suite executive, and entrepreneur who at the time they should be at their best are starting to wear down from the pressure, stress, and sleepless nights. Tiger's unique system helps our clients complete a transformative medical makeover without the time-consuming and confusing fads or biohacks using our proven and proprietary system. Our goal is to literally create a new you. The Tiger system is a personalized root cause approach to health and longevity optimization. Tiger's unique system includes doctor care, health coaching, and protection from cognitive disease such as Alzheimer's. We help successful people regain mental and physical energy and reach a peak state of health today while enabling them to sustain elite performance and health tomorrow, expanding their impact, extending their careers. Visit tigerpi.com today to learn more. Well, I have a really fun guest today, Dr. Tom Larkin. Dr. Larkin is an advocate for the independent practice of dentistry, and his commitment to education on all matters related to young dentists is unprecedented. Beginning in 1995, his ongoing mission of training up young dentists to all the intricacies of running a dental practice is generating a loyal following. Beginning with a startup and sale while still in dental school, Dr. Larkin has walked the walk and knows how to navigate startups, acquisitions, and practice development. Dentists today are well aware of the impact of corporate dentistry in the marketplace and are actively looking for counsel that may assist them in attaining more autonomy and independence. Additionally, the conversation around the oral systemic connection has been very popular in the past few years, but very few dental practices have been able to convert to a wellness-based model. Dr. Larkin is an expert in guiding both startups and existing practices to a more wellness-based dental practice model. Dr. Larkin, welcome to the Tiger Performance Podcast.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great intro.
Yeah, where'd you find that? That sounded really good.
Yeah, who is this guy, right?
Yeah, who is this guy? I was listening. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. No, while I do my homework, I don't just take what you guys give me. Because most of my guests are too modest, and they give me like two lines, and it's not enough. So I just want people to know who they're listening to.
Yeah,
and,
no, that's
you
awesome.
Know, me and you, I've met a couple times now, and you're the real deal. And so let's have some fun. Tell us a little about your family first.
So I have a daughter, an adult daughter who's in lives in Louisville, Kentucky. And I live in Lexington, Kentucky. So horses have always been, you know, my career has kind of been defined by my love for horses. And Lexington is the horse capital of the world. I'm originally from the Midwest, from Nebraska. But my job in high school and in college was working at the racetrack during the summer. And I just love horse racing. And I've just been a fan and a follower ever since. So, yeah, it's funny where life takes you.
That's really cool. So what does your daughter do now?
So she's a nurse. She's an RN. Yes.
In Louisville.
In Louisville, yeah.
Yeah, right. That's a great city, too. My son was big into baseball, so we had to do the baseball bat factory tour there.
Right? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Louisville Sluggers.
You know, and a funny story, my mother-in-law, wanting to do something really nice for our daughter when she was 12, bought her a horse. And
whoa.
Yeah, it's kind of it was the joke in our family. That's the gift that keeps giving in terms
I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. She bought the horse. I bought the rest of it. But you know what was interesting though was you know, it's not easy for girls to grow up in this culture, you know, with the pressures on their body image and everything
right.
else. And that horse, the relationship she had with Sonny, he was a national dressage champion.
Wow.
And she never actually competed. It ended up becoming just a really good relationship the two of them had for several years, but it was transformative for our daughter. I mean, is that your experience?
Yeah, Oh yeah, and Lexington is filled with women who, you know, they move here because of there's so much of the horse culture. It's not just racing, it's dressage and all the other things. And yeah, it's filled right. with people like that.
Yeah. So one of the questions I asked all everybody, you answered it right up front, was tell us about your first job and what did you learn from that experience?
Yeah.
So tell us about, what did you learn working at the track?
Well, actually two things. I've worked caring for horses. I learned what hard work was. I didn't want to do that. I was glad to go to dental school, but I actually, and I was an usher, for the box seats, and I met somebody who was really instrumental in my career. So here I am like 20 years old and this oil man from, Kansas, who was worth, you know, $100 million, took an interest in me and helped me get started in my career, you know? So it's, yeah, you meet people in strange places.
Right. So yeah. What, Dr. Larkin, did you come from a family of dentists or what caused
no.
you?
No, so that's a great, so I grew up and very common. So my home was in a neighborhood of our university. I went to Creighton University.
Okay.
And so the house to the right of where I grew up was a boarding house and the house to the left was a boarding house. And there were, so within walking distance of the dental school, so there were always dentists living, dental students living on both sides of me. That's all I knew growing up, right? Okay. Young guys, ambitious guys. And then to make things even weirder, my grade school was on the dental school campus. And when I would walk to grade school, I would have to pass the dental school and we would find models of teeth that the dentist would throw out the window. You know, they would find him. It was just a, you know, it was an interesting deal. Yeah, it was meant to be, right? I was surrounded.
Right, yeah. Like that was your fate from the beginning.
Yeah.
So tell us about, we're going to get into what you're doing now in a minute, but tell us about your, so you graduated from there, went to dental school, graduated, and then you started. So when you first got out, fully graduated, not the one you built and started and sold while you're in dental school.
Right.
After you can tell that story too, but after you did that, did you start your own practice after that?
I went in practice with a really experienced person. That's why I sold that startup, because I had a chance and I met that guy at the races. Oh my God. You know, but he had this incredible, and he had a significant health issue, and 6 months into our relationship, he had to retire. So I had to kind of like jump in the pool real quicker than what we had anticipated. Right.
Yeah.
So I got to start with a fabulous, you know, patient base, right. In a real high quality practice. So what happened in my general dental experience was, after about a decade, I just got tired of, you know, there's just an endless amount of disease. Okay. Same as it is today. And I was just one of those people who was like, there's gotta be a better way. And my good fortune, and this is before the internet, I don't know how I made these connections and ended up going to Washington, D.C. and, you know, meeting, you know, one of the main researchers at NIH, Paul Keyes, and took a couple courses from him. And I was like, wow, there is another way. There's a thing called prevention. And he wrote the book, both in dental caries and in periodontal disease and prevention. He was there for 30 years. He was kind of controversial, because a lot of dentists felt threatened by him, because really, if we take away dental disease, we're out of business. That's never going to happen. There is as much disease today as there was 30 or 40 years ago. You can't tap into that disease thing, unfortunately, right? Whatever.
Well, and there's only a small number of people who will actually engage in the prevention.
Yeah. But it hit me. And I remember coming back from that first weekend of meeting him. And I was really angry. And I was angry that our educational system, I said, why doesn't anybody know this? This guy was showing case history after case history of people being cured, right? No more gum disease, no more cavities. Yeah. And you know, sustaining that. And I was like, why don't we teach this? And it's just been a conflicting model, you know, for a very, very long time. You know, it some people it makes sense. I think it has to kind of make sense to you organically, meaning I don't want that stuff. I don't want my family members to have it, you know, because I've written a book on prevention. I said, how many dentists or children of dentists have implants? How many have you know, they don't, you know, that you know, for the most part, they don't. So it's not that hard,
them, right?
It's not that hard to prevent. But whatever the reason is, there has to be a better way. So that was my big That was my big shift, right? So we had talked earlier offline how now I was getting into prevention, and we were doing bacterial cultures, you know, an incubator in the dental office. I mean, this is crazy stuff, you know, in the late 80s. And it wasn't until 2013. So I moved to Kentucky in 2009 and began teaching here at the university. It was kind of like my retirement, you know, kind of wind down phase.
Yep.
And I was talking a lot about these principles, right? You know, it was like I was an alien. So in 2013, I was at a conference and I met Dr. Brad Bale. He's the author of The Heart Attack Gene. And I was like, that was a light bulb moment, because that was the person that showed that the health of the mouth was connected to the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. And I became a patient of Dr. Bale, because I have a bad family history. And I also went through his preceptorship, which is, you know, pretty intensive medical preceptorship. It's mainly physicians, but I went through that. And then I told him, I said, listen, what you're doing is important, but you need a dentist, you know, with my level of experience, you know. So I wrote a manual, I wrote a book, I wrote a consumer book. I mean, I was very motivated to help him with his mission, because I knew he was going to be severely limited by the dentist not understanding what he's talking about.
Right. So is that your core passion, this idea that health is connected to the rest of the body?
Yeah. So that evolved into proactive oral wellness. And then what happened is, you know, I've had what I call the blessings of COVID, because COVID was such a strange experience on so many levels for so many people. But I was having a conference here that was canceled because of COVID. And I had some people from Australia that had been following me on social media that had to cancel. And in September of COVID year, I think that's 20, I think.
Yep, 2020. Yep.
I began to work in Australia because they were pretty much unencumbered for whatever reason. And I met this sensational dental hygienist who said, you know, we were just like an automatic connection. And I was at the time, I was in need of creating a learning platform, because I knew stuff was going to have to be virtual to a degree, you know, not 100%, but I didn't have a learning platform, right? And so we created it. She called it the Larkin Protocol. That was her deal. And launched it with great success in Australia. And that's now what I'm, you know, now I'm circled back. And I have a hygienist, Tasha Kozlowski, who's in Nashville. We finally had that event in March. It was just fabulous to bring all these concepts together, to bring all the dental hygienists to the table. The title of the conference was The Future of Dental Hygiene Is Now. And so what we did was we just gave the roadmap of what the future should look like in it's advanced prevention, microbiological testing, and then what are state-of-the-art treatments. For example, we had a laser trainer. We talked about lasers. Lasers are very holistic. They're a really nice adjunct to clean teeth, because they're not, you know, they're not chemical. And so that's what I'm doing now is, so we're ready to go worldwide with our deal. And then I met you through Dr. Chris Phelps, who I've been friends with for a while. Chris is a dynamo. And
I had him on my podcast. That's how this all happened.
Yeah. So we're talking about how do we support, just like I was supporting Dr. Bale in his specific work, how do we support functional medicine? This is a universal need, you know, and the components are very straightforward and they're the same.
So I think it would be really interesting for people to hear those three dimensions of testing that really make up your protocol.
Right. So what Dr. Bale in his research, and he's been doing the Bale Don't Need method, I think, for almost two decades. I mean, he has a very impressive body of work he's treated thousands and thousands of patients. And he is of the opinion, and he was the first person that I've ever met who just really wanted to engage dentistry. And he feels like the inflammatory burden, that is as much as 50% of it could be attributed to oral, right? And so the first person that I ever saw, physician, who was really dialed in to dentistry was Charles Mayo, who founded the, he and his brother founded the Mayo Clinic in the early 1900s. And he was all about dentistry. He was pleading with the dentists, and he was telling them that, you know, good preventive oral care would extend life 10 years. Yep. And he couldn't engage the dentists. They just weren't interested, right? So Dr. Bale's done a pretty good job of doing that, and Dr. Donin. And so the three areas of concern that he has when he engages a dentist, and that's why I built my training course around, mm-hmm. was periodontal disease. Okay. And that's, you know, that's a no-brainer. But now we have advanced testing to look at, you know, to look at the biofilm. The oral microbiome is over 700 bacteria, and there are about a dozen pathogens. And so we need to identify those through a biofilm DNA test.
Okay. So let me interrupt real quick right there, because in our practice at Tiger Medical, we do the gut biome testing.
Okay.
Dr. McNamee is an expert in that.
Nice.
The gut-brain access, he says, is some of the most critical aspects of medical healthcare right now.
Right.
And he feels like that's where a lot of the advancements are going to come from, is in from the gut.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is there's also a biome in the oral.
Yeah.
As well.
And so in my training, it's funny because it just comes top of mind after you said that. I use the word dysbiosis. Now, the first time I ever heard the term dysbiosis was referring to the gut. And I was like, well, why isn't the dentist, when we have a shift in the microbiome from health to disease, that's dysbiosis, whether it's the gut or the mouth.
Yeah.
And so that's in my training where I said, listen, I can show you, and what Tasha and I train is chairside use of a microscope. Okay. So we do this in phases. The microscope, it's a very inexpensive test.
Yeah.
It's visual. We put it on a 65-inch monitor because we want to show that microbiome, and we really want to make an impact in motivating the patients to do things, right? And so we don't charge for it. It's a 25-cent test. Now, if they have dysbiosis and they have some underlying health stuff, then the next stage is to say, you know, we need to drill down and we need to look for those pathogens, okay?
Yep.
So that's a very straightforward conversation that dentists are well aware of, okay? The second part, which is very much in the wheelhouse of dentistry, is just a very simple sleep screening. Okay. I mean, we work in the mouth. We look at the airway. We look at the tonsillar pillars. We look at the tongue. Okay. There's all kinds of telltale signs when you look in a mouth, and you know someone has sleep issues from the just the anatomy. Okay.
Yep.
So we can do a screening, not necessarily an overnight sleep test, but a screening to say, hey, you may want to, you know, you're connecting enough dots, you may want to get a sleep test. Okay.
Yep.
So that's number two that Dr. Bale wants. And then the third thing is a CT scan, which, you know, CT scans take radiology to a different level. I mean, my practice here that I helped manage, it was a big expenditure for a new graduate, but I really, really wanted us to up our game clinically. And that's been the biggest game changer of anything we've ever done. Right. And so what Dr. Bale has kind of reverse engineered is he's looking for specific endodontic lesions. So if there's a dentist in your audience, they would know what this is. This is a tooth with a root canal that has not healed. Okay. Mm-hmm. It might be completely asymptomatic. It's not bothering the patient, but it has a little focus of infection at the tip of the root that's there. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't heal. And what Dr. Bale did is that early on, he started saying, you know, I would have that tooth taken out. And when the tooth comes out, 2 or 3 weeks later, the inflammatory biomarkers go back to normal. So he has certain biomarkers that he looks at that he relates completely to oral. You know, he knows when they're elevated, he goes right to the mouth.
And
right?
Relating that to what we do, our doctor looks at multiple inflammatory markers in multiple systems.
Yeah.
And it's a really, I mean, I've heard Dr. McNamee say that inflammation might be like the precursor to all disease. You know, I mean, I may be misquoting him there, but that the general idea is that it's a big, big part of the puzzle.
Right.
And one of the things that brought us together was he talks about, like he said, I'm going to run into a situation where I have looked at everything I know to look at and I can't get the inflammation down. And he goes, I know it's in the mouth.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. No question. So that's why I was saying, you know, let me help you, you know, get some dentists trained up specifically so that they deliver you and you know what you need for your differential diagnosis from the standpoint of periodontal disease. Where is this patient as far as the pathogen load? What does their sleep score look like? And do they have any kind of hidden, you know, festering things in their mouth or in their jaws?
Right. Well, and I think, you know, you're on my podcast and we're talking about this to educate and inform, but so there are people out there who are just patients who may go, I really want to get help with this. So we'll talk later about how they could find someone who could help them through your website, I'm presuming. Yeah. But also if you're a dentist listening, I think that reaching out to Dr. Larkin to learn about what your training does could help open up a whole avenue of growth for their practice and help their patients.
Yeah. Oh, no question about it. I mean, so our three little monikers are, we engage our patients. The first thing is engagement. And that engagement comes because they visually are seeing their bacteria for the first time. And it's a light switch moment. It's very hard to explain disease to patients. But when they see it,
I'm going to go see that lady in Seattle that you told me about earlier right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's an important part of it. Right. So we want to engage the patient. And the clinician becomes, this has been a really nice thing. They become inspired because now they feel like they're practicing at a much level of care. Right. Yeah. It's the care that you'd want, you know, your parents or your children to be in the hands of someone who's doing this.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. So, I guess in developing the last, 7-8 years, you've been really 10 years almost, you've been focused on this issue.
Yeah.
Is there a challenge or a big mistake you made that you had to overcome as you built this out, your passion for this and delivering this to the world?
Kind of underestimating the level of interest. It's funny that you should say that because the first dentist who bought my program, and at first, I put this handbook online and, it's a shopping cart and a guy buys it and I call him up and I remember it like it's yesterday because he came to our meeting in Memphis and I acknowledged him right off the bat. And he'd been in practice like 30 or 40 years, very seasoned practitioner. And the first word out of his mouth was, Tom, this is the dentist that I've always wanted to be. And I was like, oh my God, first off, I sold my program to one person. And if I never sell another one, that was good enough. I mean, to know that I connected, but I knew that I connected with him, right? But what I've always done is I've underestimated the potential, right? I continue to do that. And it wasn't until Australia, and Australia was kind of a different market because this was so new, right? There are other people that talk about oral wellness and there are organizations here, but all of them have kind of, I don't know, it hasn't been a congruent fluid movement for a variety of reasons. Okay. Social media, which I'm, I understand social media, but there are a lot of people out there that are just kind of, off the rails a little bit.
Yep.
So anyway, definitely underestimating what this is, right? So now I have an open mind. Like when we had a meeting this week and Sue said, she said, I have everything in place now from Australia. We're gonna go worldwide with this. And I said, what does this require of me? And she told me, and it wasn't a big deal. And I said, okay, let's do it. So definitely too humble as far as what this all
sure.
means.
Yeah. Well, I'm a big follower of a guy named Richard Cook who wrote a book called The 80-20 Principle. But he has a more important book, I think, for people like you who's an innovator, and that's called The Star Principle. And the idea behind it is if you can define a new niche and be the dominant player in that niche, and the niche itself is growing at 10% or more a year, that business will far exceed what your wildest dreams are in terms of growth.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you may have one because you've kind of created your own niche here. And, there aren't a lot of research out there on the kind of markets like I'm in with restorative medicine, just like you're doing, but that there's more than a 10% growth opportunity.
Right. Because
when people learn about this stuff, they want it.
Yeah.
And so I would tell you that because I have the same, I've made the same mistake. Like I'm the level of interest that we have today compared to 6 months ago floors me.
Yeah.
In terms of our program. And because the results are just been phenomenal, just like what yours are. And so that's a common mistake that I would say you're an entrepreneur now, whether you want to call yourself one or not.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
You're a dental information entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So anyway, I hope it really takes off. So what is officially the name of your company? So if you're a dentist and you want to find out more about you, Dr. Tom.
Yeah. So my main website is POW Hygiene, POW hygiene.com. And POW stands for proactive oral wellness, because that's what this is. You know, I just preach the proactive versus reactive. Reactive is the standard model for dentistry and medicine today. We just react to disease.
Yep.
Proactive is the
same
other
in medicine.
Yeah. So it's the flip side. So it's powhygiene.com. All the information is there on that. POWHYGIENE, powhygiene.
Yep.
And the information's there about the course that that I teach. It's all virtual. And now we have two live events. And we sold out our live event like a month before it actually, we had an event in March and we're having one September 23rd and 24th in Nashville. And so, and this was kind of innovative. This was an idea I had 3 years ago. And what I did was I wanted to have an event that I would be interested in. Mm-hmm. Meaning we have, it's a 2-day event, but the first day is all didactic, but the second day is hands-on. And so if a dentist says, you know, I'm kind of interested in this oral wellness, but I don't want to commit to it. I don't want to buy anything. I want you to go and learn about it, but I want you to pick up a laser and I want you to pick up the guided biofilm there. And I want you to see a microscope and I want you to do a sample of the biofilm DNA. Okay.
Yep.
And then if any of it makes sense, great. And so it was kind of a kick the tires event. It was, so we had these clinical rotations. We were set up in a clinic and we did, I think it was like 35 minutes and then people would move to a next station. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Wow.
So everybody got to do it, right?
Yep.
And there is something about seeing it and feeling it and doing it that's a little bit different than sitting in a classroom.
Right. You know? Or just learning about it online through.
Yeah, online. Yeah. And that was so nice just to be around people again.
Yes.
That was awesome. So we're doing that in September. And that'll probably be a standing, two event per year.
March and September each year.
Yeah. Yeah, and definitely they're chomping to do it in Australia because the people from Australia came to Nashville.
And, yeah, wow.
It was special. It was special. Yeah. So, yeah, I just tell the dentist, there are more people looking for you. I'm talking about the wellness dentist.
Yes. Yes.
There are more people looking for you than there are dentists trained in this.
Yes.
It's just so obvious.
Yep. It's the same in medical where there's more people looking for these unique solutions than...
Yeah.
So if they want to go to one of your events, they just go to that same website?
Yeah. So there's a website for the events and it's called oralsystemicmastery.com. And then if you forget that, tomlarkin.com will get you to all of them. So,
right. So all of them, you can find all of them. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
So just a couple things, I ask this of everybody, what are some daily rituals that you think have been a big part of you being the successful dentist and father and person that you are?
Wow. Having time to think, having quiet time, I think is a really important, and that is so hard to do to carve out some quiet time, whether you meditate or pray, whatever it is, quiet time is important. That's really, really important to me. And, and as much as I dislike it, some form of exercise
we don't use that word in our company. We call it movement.
Yeah.
One of our 8 health habits is getting everybody to move daily.
Yeah.
Because it's really movement. It's not per se exercise, right?
Right. Yeah. So I'd say find time to decompress and be quiet.
Yep.
And one of the things that this is a health related thing, that I started to integrate about 3 years ago is the is a sauna, infrared sauna.
Yeah.
That's a, you know, because, you know, that there, that gives me a reason to sit for 20 minutes, right?
Right.
Yep. And be quiet.
Yeah. And it also, just so you know, Dr. McNamee has shared this with almost all of our patients and shared the research. In Finland, there's some great research on basically about a 10% reduction in cardiovascular disease. If you, for each day you consistently are in the sauna for 19 minutes or more on a per week basis.
Wow.
So if you go 3 days a week, you can lower by 30%. And he's like, I can't, there's not much more I can do that's better than that.
Yeah.
As a physician.
I really, really like it. You know, that's, if that's something that I've integrated, that's been easy to do, you know, there are things you can do that are hard.
Right.
That one is like, you know, because and it started just from the fact that, you know, as I've gotten older, it's harder for me to do vigorous enough exercise to sweat, right?
Yes.
It's just, you know, it's hard.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, this is like a no brainer.
Right. Because you sweat like crazy.
Because I love to sweat. You know, I mean that sweating was always the, you know, that's always a target or an endpoint, right?
Yeah.
So I'll walk on the treadmill and then I'll do an equal amount in the sauna. And that fits me at this point.
That's fantastic, right?
Yeah.
Well, and the whole key is you're doing it all the time. You're not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last question, and that is, this is a fun one, so just have fun with it.
All
it's right. Not about like you have regrets or anything, but like if you had and I'll give you an example of mine just so you have time to think. If you had a fantasy job that you could do that would just be so fun for you to do.
Ooh,
so mine was stupid. I not stupid, but I wanted to be a CIA agent. And that's just what I wanted to do. And obviously, I'm too old to do that now. But you know, it's interesting. I had a guy on who challenged me and said, I'll bet if you ask people this question, it shows up in their life somewhere. And for me, it did. You know, I started a microlending charity years ago. And I have been to like 36 nations. And a lot of these places are not where you and I go to vacation. You know, like
right.
Uzbekistan and Ukraine. I've been to Ukraine like 8 times. And so it's interesting, like the seeing the world and different cultures showed up in my life in a way that was different than being a CIA agent. So I don't know, anything come to mind?
You know, I've had so many passions in my life and so varied. Okay.
Yep.
Meaning, you know, loving the horses. I wanted to be a professional bass fisherman. I absolutely love construction. You know, it's like I built a dental office in dental school. I mean, when I we didn't talk about that story, but I mean, I physically did the framing. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I love, so there's a lot of
time.
There's a lot of engineer in me, right? No, I work all the time, you know, but I don't work ever. Right.
Right.
Because I'm always doing what I want. Right.
Right.
That's a huge difference. But, so there's a big engineer component in me that I love to build practices physically and theoretically, right? So, man, that's impossible because it's so varied, you know, and it's gone through my, you know, my different phases in life.
You've already given us a couple, pro basser, fisherman, and construction guy. And the other thing you're doing really, in all seriousness, is you're engineering a movement right now.
Yeah.
Right? To top up and give dental practices a unique opportunity to go on a different path.
Well, and you know, people are finding me, you know, these people like Australia and Natasha, these are all people that reached out to me, you know, and same like Chris Phelps.
Yeah.
Hey, you need to meet Steve, you know? And I was like, that's a great joy because I'm not out hustling. You know, I'm not in a phase where I'm, you know, I'm not 40 out there, you know, beating it, trying to make something happen.
Right.
This is kind of a harvest time where, you know, I've worked a long time and cool people are kind of coming my way. That's a whole different experience.
Yeah.
It's a blessing.
You're a cool guy too. So that's why it's happening.
There we go.
Yeah. So one more time, where can people find you?
Okay. So, tomlarkin.com is probably, you know, if you know my name, you know, my website. My email is tom@tomlarkin.com.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I registered that a long time ago.
Yes.
My name is as a domain. So that's what I always say. Yeah. Reach out to me with any questions on, you know, I feel all different kinds of questions.
Right. Okay. Well, Dr. Tom, thank you for being on the Tiger Performance Podcast.
Awesome. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Tiger Performance Podcast. We'll see you again next time, and be sure to click subscribe to get the future episodes.